Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We are at the Mishnah, six lines from the top. It says the Mishnah, Koishrin Deli B'Psikya. One may go ahead and tie his pail, a pail sitting on the boy on the well, which doesn't have a rope. He can tie it to a psikya, to a belt. Avoloi B'Chevel, but he cannot tie it to a rope. Why? As Rashi says, the chevel, he's going to leave there, he's going to be mevatel there, he's going to leave it in place. And the kesher, the knot, is going to be a permanent knot, as opposed to the belt, which he's surely going to retrieve. And therefore, the kesher is merely of a very temporary nature, and therefore it's mut. Rabbi Yehuda matir, Rabbi Yehuda says, even a rope is allowed. Klal om Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda stated a rule, kol kesher she'ene shel kayam, any knot, which is not of a permanent nature, in chayovanov, there's no chiv, there's no liability on it. That's why he just points out that Rabbi Yehuda means it's even mutter. Why does he use these words, in chayovanov, which implies that there's an iser? Says Tosfos, he's merely matching the words used in the beginning in the Reisha. The Mishnah began with discussing ksharim she'in chayovan aleim. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda uses similar terminology, even though he certainly means that it's absolutely mutter to tie the rope to the pail. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Three lines from the top of the Amud, beginning with the words Masnisin Kaishrin Dliba Psikya, Al Pia Bar, on top of the Bar, the Psikya Lemavat Lehosam, because it's belt. He's not going to abandon it, he's not going to leave it there. So therefore, the Kesher that he's making is merely of a very temporary nature. Avoloi Bechevel, because a rope is different than Mavat Lehosam, he simply abandons it there. Vavakesher Shal Kayama. Therefore, the knot here is considered to be a permanent knot. Shari kosher v'toli sham tavet, because it's tied and hanging there for all time. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'gemar mefarsh. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah began, you can only use a belt, but not a rope. Rabbi Yehuda allows the rope. Chevel demai, what type of rope are we speaking about? Ilema. Are we going to say chevel da'alma, ordinary rope? The Chacham say you can't use a regular, ordinary, typical rope. Rabbi Yehuda allows. Rabbi Yehuda matir. How could that be? Kesher shel kayamu, it's a permanent knot. Because, as Rashi explained, he's going to simply abandon and leave it there. Ela bechevel de gardi. We're speaking about a weaver's rope, which he needs for his craft. So something merely of a temporary nature. He's going to leave it there just for a time being. It's not something which is going to remain in place, and therefore, there's no concern according to Rabbi Yehuda. However, according to Rabbanon, there is a concern. Why? The Gemara assumes now that there's a gzeirah employed here, the humble concern. If we allow the weaver's rope, perhaps one will get confused and apply even an ordinary rope. Says the Gemara, le meimra. So are we going to say the Rabbanon Savri Gazrinon Chevel de Gardi? Atu Chevel de Alma. The Chacham say, we must make a gzeirah that not to allow one to use a Chevel de Gardi for concern, that he might confuse things and mistakenly apply a Chevel de Alma, ordinary rope as well. So this is the opinion of the Rabbanon. Rabbi Yehuda suffer. However, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Lo Gazrina. There's no concern, there's no gzeira here. There's no room for confusion. We're not concerned that he's going to confuse one type of rope with the other type of rope. Therefore, it's mutter. So is that the basis of their machlekes? According to Rabbanon, there's a gzeira, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no gzeira. When it comes to matters of kshir of time, V'raminu. We have a braisa, which seems to tell us just the opposite. That Rabbanon don't apply a gzeira when it comes to matters of tying, Rabbi Yehuda does. The braisa says, Chev al lisha nifsak. The rope of the pail which snapped, lo yei kaishoi elo einvoi. He shouldn't go reattach, retie those ripped, those snapped ends, elo einvoi. He should merely go ahead and apply a bow, tie it into a bow. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, you can't even do that. Koyrochal of punda, a psikya, you must wrap on it either a punda, psikya types of belts, ubelvad, shaloyan venu. As long as he doesn't tie it into a bow. So apparently, the Gemara is assuming now, why? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you allow a bow, he's going to confuse it with a knot. Now the Rabbana allow making a bow, apparently they're not concerned, they don't apply a gzera for concern that he might confuse one thing with the other. So we have an open contradiction here. Kashya, the Rabbi Yehuda. We have a kashif from Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah who does not apply an gzeira, is not concerned about confusion, one type of rope with the other type of rope, and Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, which apparently applies a gzeira. doesn't allow even tying into a bow for concern that he may actually tie it into an ordinary knot. So that's one contradiction. Kasha, the Rabbanon. Likewise, we seem to have a stira contradiction between the Rabbanon in the Mishnah, who don't allow even the weaver's rope for concern that he might use an ordinary rope, in contrast to the Chachamim in the Braisa, who allow tying into a bow. Apparently, they're not concerned about confusing a bow with a knot. Answers the Gemara, the Rabbanon like Kasha. The two Rabbanons are not difficult. Why? Chevel b'chevel michlef, one type of rope, a weaver's rope, with another type of rope, with an ordinary rope, michlef, is something which can be confused. Aniva b'kshira, but tying, forming a bow, with really tying a knot, those are two different things. Loi michlef, those two things don't, there's no room for confusion and for mistakes. So although the Rabbanan and our Mishnah were concerned that he might confuse a weaver's rope, if they allow that, perhaps he's going to apply even an ordinary rope, which is a Kesher Shekayama. However, when it comes to tying into a bow and a knot are two different varieties. They're so distinct and different, and therefore there's no concern for confusing one with the other. So that explains the Rabbanan. Likewise, says the Gemara, the Rabbi Yehuda, like Kasha. That also is not a Kasha. Why? Hasam, in the Braisa, where Rabbi Yehuda does not allow forming a bow, it's not based on a concern that forming a bow would be confused with tying a knot. Not at all. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda maintains that forming a bow is tantamount to tying a knot. He holds that a bow is like a knot, has the same din, has the same halacha. So certainly Rabbi Yehuda does not apply gzeira. Just as he doesn't apply it in the Mishnah, he allows using a chevel de gardi, a weaver's rope, without any concern for confusion, for lest one mix it up with a ordinary rope. There's no concern. Why then in the Braisa does Rabbi Yehuda prohibit making an aniva, a bow, because he holds that is considered to be a kasher? So it's interesting that on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph we had a shail in the Gemara regarding Rav Meir Shita, whether he holds that aniva is mutter or not. So in our Gemara, we actually have two shittas. Rabbanan say it's mutter. Rabbi Yehuda holds no, aniva is considered to be a kasher. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rab Abba, Amar Bchia Bar Ashi, Amar Rav. Maybe Adam chevel mitoch beis. One may bring a rope from his home, ve'koishoi beparo beivus, and may go ahead and tie one side of the rope to the paro, to the cow, and the other side to the avus, the feeding receptacle. There's no concern that perhaps he's going to leave one of these sides of the ropes intact in place, only going to untie one side and leave the other one in place. There's no concern. Eisve, Rav Acha Aricha. So the tall Rav Acha asked the Kasha. Who was Rav Acha Bar Papa? He asked the Kasha, L'Rabbi Abba. The Braisa says, Chevel Shebe Avis. If there's already an existing rope attached to the Avis, to the feeding receptacle, Kosher Bepara, he may go ahead and tie the other side to the cow. That's one halacha. Uv Shebe Para. Now, if there's a rope already attached to the para, to the cow, kosher be'avus. He may affix the other side to the avus. Ubilavad, provided, shelo yavi chevel mitoch beisai. He should not bring a new rope from his home, v'yikshoi be'para be'avus. He can't bring a rope from his home and tie it one side to the para, one side to the avus. So apparently there is a concern that he may go ahead and just leave one of these sides of the rope in place, intact, thereby making it a kesher shel kayama. So only he could do is, if there's already a rope attached to the para, he can go ahead and fix the other side to the avis. Why? Because apparently he likes the rope to remain on the para. Apparently, you see, it was already tied to the para beforehand. So when he fixes it to the avis, we assume that he's going to untie this side of the avis and leave the rope tied to the par. Likewise, when it was already pre-attached to the avis, now he's bringing his cow over, he may tie it to the para, because the assumption is, we see that he likes to have this rope permanently affixed to the avis. So we assume that he's going to untie the side that he's affixing to the para. He's going to untie it afterwards. There's no concern. But to bring a fresh rope and affix one side to the para, one side to the avis, is a concern that one of these two sides he's going to leave in place. Now the Nefarshim ask, haven't we learned yesterday that when there is a choice of two nuts, for instance, when we have the Gemara spoke about putting a rope across the doorway to keep the animal inside, and there were two ropes, or when the Gemara spoke about an Isha on her garment having two ways of opening two sets of flaps, and the Gemara said, well, perhaps she's going to only open one and leave the other one intact. So perhaps one of them is a Kesher Shekayama. The Gemara said, no, there's no concern. The Farshim explained why. Because since either one of these sets potentially can be opened, will be opened, so although perhaps one of them will be left in place, but since each one independently stands to be opened, therefore, there's no concern of a kesher. So the question is, why is this case different? Why over here do we say that he can't bring a fresh rope, attach one side to the parah, one side to the avos, for concern that one of those sides will remain in place? So the Farshim answer that here it's different, because perhaps here he has reason to leave specifically one side intact. Perhaps he wants the one attached to the receptacle to remain as is. The rope should remain right there permanently. Or, conversely, perhaps he would like the rope to remain on his para permanently. So there's a reason why he might want to leave one side intact in place permanently. Therefore, over here it's asur. So this was the kasha that Rav Acha asked. How could Rav Abba say, how could you say that one may bring a rope and attach one side to the para, one side to the avos, without any concern? The Braisa clearly tells us he may not do so. He can't bring a fresh rope and attach one side to the parah, one side to the avos. We're concerned that perhaps one of these ends will remain intact. Says the Gemara, this is the difference. Hasam chevel de'alma. This is Braisa, which says it's also speaking about an ordinary rope, where indeed there is a real concern that perhaps one side will remain in place, intact. Kesher shel kayam. Hacha, over here in our case, or of Abba's case, we're speaking about chevel de'gardi. We're speaking about a weaver's rope, which he needs for his craft. Therefore, certainly he won't leave it intact. He won't leave it in place. He's going to remove it as soon as he's finished. Therefore, there's no concern with tying it even on both ends, one side to the parah, one side to the avos. He certainly is going to retrieve it. So in summary, let's begin back with the Mishnah, which told us about tying the pail. We have a machlekes between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. All agree that a psikya, a belt, may be employed as something merely of a temporary nature. Regarding a chevel de garde, using a weaver's rope, according to Rabbanon, that's not allowed, because he might confuse that with an ordinary rope, which certainly he can't do, because he's going to leave it there for all time. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no concern of confusing or mixing up the chevel de garde with a chevel de alma, therefore a chevel de garde may be tied to the pail. All agree that an ordinary rope, certainly it's aser. Regarding making a bow, as a separate machlekes, Rabbanon say, aniva is not a kesher. Therefore, there's no concern. Rabbi Yehuda holds that an aniva has a din of a kesher, a bow is tantamount to a knot, and it's also on Shabbos. Regarding bringing a rope and attaching it to the parah, to the avos, so it depends. If there's already a rope pre-existing here, attached to the avos, and he wants to simply attach the other side to the parah, or in the reverse, there's already a rope attached to the parah, and he simply wants to tie the other side to the avos, all agree that it's mutter, whether it's an ordinary rope, whether it's a chevel de gardi, it's mutter. Because certainly he's going to untie the knot that he's tying right now. Regarding bringing a fresh rope and attaching one side to the par, one side to the avos, then we have a distinction. If it's a chevel de gardi, a weaver's rope which he needs for his craft, he's not going to leave it there. Certainly in this case it's mutter. If it's an ordinary rope, then there's a real concern that perhaps one of these sides will be left as is. And therefore, it's usur to tie it to the para and to the avos. Continues the Gemara. Omar b'damashmo. Klei kivoy, these kalim, these utensils used for weaving, mutu l'tatlum ha-shabbos. One may go ahead and move them ha-shabbos. Rashi explains that we're speaking about the konim, these sticks, these reeds, which are used in the weaving process. So the Gemara soon will delineate for us all different types of parts of these weaver's tools. So we have basically three parts. We have the amudim, the poles which were positioned inside in the ground. So they were standing up vertically. Then we have the Kovid, the Elyon, the Kovid HaTachton, the upper beam and the lower beam, on which the Chuti HaShesi, the vertical threads, were spread. So we have the Amudim, we have the Kovid, the Elyon, and Kovid HaTachton. And then we have the Konim, these sticks or reeds, which were also employed in the weaving process. So Gemara goes through all three of them, the Konim, the sticks, the Amudim, the poles, and the Kovid, the Elyon, and HaTachton, the beams, and figure out whether they are considered to be Muktzan Shabbos. So we begin with the Konim. Omer Vidam Shmuel Klei Kivoy. Rashi explains this is the Konim, the sticks. Mutal Taltim Shabbos. Why? Because he's teaching us, Rabbi Vidam Shmuel is teaching us that the Gardi, the weaver, is not so particular about the use of these Konim. He allows it to be used for other purposes as well. Therefore, they're not considered to be designated. Klei Shem Lachtil is designated for a prohibited purpose, prohibited use, and therefore is Mutal to be used on Shabbos. So they asked from Rav Yehuda, what about Kovid the Elyon, the upper beam, the Kovid HaTachton, the lower beam? Ma, what is the halacha there? Perhaps that's different because on account of their heaviness, they are designated to be used for weaving, exclusively for Ariga. Therefore, they are Muktzah. So they asked, is it Muktzah or not? So he answered, so the Gemara says, in Velav. He said yes, he said no, Varafya biyadei. It was loose in his hands, meaning he didn't have a clear-cut response. He was unsure. Itzman, we learned Omer Menachem Rashmol. Klei kivoy, those weavers, tools, mutal etzaltim b'shabbos. One may move them on Shabbos. Afilu kovid ha'elyon v'kovid ha'tachton. Even the upper beam and the lower beam, apparently, they're not designated exclusively for weaving, and therefore, they're not mukt. Aval, lo yasamudim. But one may not move those poles that are positioned in the ground. Amali Rav Nachman. What difference? Why? Why is the Amudim different? Maishna Amudim Deloi. What is the difference? Why are Amudim not allowed? Ilem the Kovet Gumois. Is the reason perhaps because he's fashioning a hole by lifting it out of the ground? That's not a concern. Gumois Memeil Kahavin. Those pits, those holes, are Memeil there. They're there before, they're pre-existing. He's not forming them. He's merely pulling the poles out of the ground, and the guma was there beforehand. This not, as we learned in the Mishnah, that there's no concern in such a case. The Mishnah says, "Atoyman lefetz utznoynis," one who buries turnips or radishes tachas agefen underneath a vine. So he's doing it for storage purposes, no intention of planting it. Says the Mishnah, "In mixes olav megulin," if some of his leaves were exposed, then ainu chayshish lemishim kalayim. Then he's not concerned, he has no reason to be concerned, not on account of kalayim because it's in close proximity to the vine, there's no concern. Nor does he need to be concerned about the halachas of shvius. It's not considered to be planted in the ground. No concern about maaser as well, there's no concern that perhaps it grew, it added, and perhaps he needs to take off maaser from the addition, there's no concern. Vinitol Mishabbos, and these items may be extracted on Shabbos. Now, that's why the Mishnah discussed the revealed leaves, simply because of the halacha of Shabbos. This condition of the leaves being revealed, being exposed, does not really pertain to the Kalayim and Shvius and the Maaser. Even when there's no exposed leaves, there's no concern when it comes to those halachas. The reason why the Mishnah discussed the exposed leaves, simply so they can go and pull it out on Shabbos for this halacha. In any case, we see that one may go ahead and pull out the radish or the turnip from the earth, even though he leaves a hole behind. Apparently, there's no concern because the hole was there beforehand. He's not forming the hole. So likewise, in the case of the amudim, of these poles, of the weaver machine here, the loom, why is there a concern? The hole is there to begin with. Says the Gemara, you're right. The concern is not on account of forming the hole. Rather, they might go in and fix the hole. Bisada, when he does it in the sada, in the field, like in the case of the vegetables, la'as la'shvei gumis, he's not going to come, he's not going to be tempted to smooth out, to straighten out the gumis, those pits. Hacha bebayis, however, in our case, it's in a home, la'as la'shvei gumis. There's concern that he might be tempted to flatten out, to smooth out the floor, to smooth out the gumis, those pits. So that's the reason why one cannot be metaltal those poles and put them out of the ground. So Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi, "Klei kivoy, klei kagoyin. What is the halacha of the klei kivoy? Kagoyin kovid the elyon, kovid the tachton, the upper and lower beams. Ma'ot halachah b'shabbos. May one move them on Shabbos, are they muksa? Amar le, so he responded, ein metaltan. Why may not move them? Ma tam, why? Levish ein etal, because they're not meant to be moved there on account of their heaviness. So therefore, they are certainly meant to be designated exclusively for the weaving melacha of Eirig, and therefore it's considered to be melach, klisha melach, is designated for prohibited purpose, for prohibited use, and therefore they are muktzan Shabbos. So in summary, regarding bimetaltel, the clay kivoy, the weaver's tools, well, the konim, those sticks, they're mutter, because they're not exclusively reserved for the weaving process, therefore they're not considered to be muktzan. What about the upper and lower beams? We have one shita which allows, and we have another shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who's unsure about it. In Velav, he was unsure as to the exact status of the Kaivid Elyon Atachten. Regarding the Amudim, the poles which are inserted in the ground, certainly those may not be removed, and the reason is not on account of Muksa, rather for concern that he might go ahead and smooth out the floor of the home. Continues the Mishnah. Mekaplin esakelim, one may go ahead and fold garments, afilu arba v'chamish pavim, even 4 or 5 times. Rashi explains that the folding maintains its shape, prevents wrinkling. So if these clothing are going to be used today on Shabbos, one may go ahead and fold them, even 4 or 5 times. Miri explains he folds it and folds until he gets it right. So he can do so since it is for Shabbos use. He's going to use it today. Continues the Mishnah, umatzin esamitais. One may go ahead and make those beds, prepare the beds, milei l'Shabbos, l'Shabbos, from Friday night for Shabbos use, meaning it's little Shabbos, now it's Friday night. He can make the beds, prepare them for Shabbos use. Avaloi mi Shabbos l'motzei Shabbos. But he can't go ahead and prepare those beds on Shabbos, l'motzei Shabbos, if the intended purpose is to use them after Shabbos. One may not do achana preparation from Shabbos for after Shabbos or post Shabbos use. What about Yom Kippur and Shabbos? Which one of them is greater? Rabbi Shmuel says, Shabbos is on a higher level than Yom Kippur, because Shabbos carries a much stiffer penalty. If one does a malach on Shabbos, the Oynish is Skila, which is through Bezdin, whereas Yom Kippur carries the Oynish of Kuris, which comes from Shemaim. It's regarded as a lower level, a less severe punishment. Therefore, says Rabbi Shmuel, one may go ahead and prepare from Yom Kippur for the sake of Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Mekaplan Sakelim. One may go ahead and fold the garments of Matzin and Samites and make the beds, Miyoyim HaKippurim L'Shabbos. Likewise, when it comes to Karbanos, says Rabbi Shmuel, what about a leftover, fats that were left over from the Shabbos Karbanos? Can you go ahead and bring them, be makir them the next day on Yom Kippur? Says Rabbi Shmuel, yes, Chel V'Shabbos, the leftover fats of the karbanos that were brought today on Shabbos, crave Yom Kippur. They may be brought at night on Matzah Shabbos, even though it's Yom Kippur. Avoloi Yom Kippur b'Shabbos, but not in the reverse. One cannot bring the leftovers of the carbon which were brought in Yom Kippur. You can't bring it the following day on Shabbos. Why? Because Shabbos is regarded on a higher level than Yom Kippur. So Shabbos cannot prepare for Yom Kippur. It cannot service Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur can prepare for Shabbos and can be of service to Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva, I mean, no. Rabbi Kiva says Shabbos and Yom Kippur are regarded on the same turf, on the same level. Lo yishol Shabbos, kreivim Yom Kippurim. The karbanos of Shabbos cannot be brought in Yom Kippur. And likewise, v'lo yishol Yom Kippurim, the karbanos of Yom Kippur cannot be brought kreivim b'Shabbos. He holds that considered to be on the same level. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, which is 18 lines from the bottom, beginning with the word masnisen. Mekaplin es hakelim, so we're speaking about folding the garments. Begodim, the clothes. Kishapoishtan, when he removes them and he undresses he takes off the garments. Mekaplin, so he folds them. Bepneishem esrachem mikibusam, because they get soft due to the them being washed. Umiskamtim, and they get wrinkled. Kishenem kipalim, when they're not folded properly. Afilu dal bahamim. Kedei, Rashi says, Kedei, lachso loshem b'yayim, provided that the intended purpose is to wear them again today, then he's allowed to fold them. Rabbi Shmuel says that Shabbos is regarded on a higher level than Yom Kippur, therefore one may go ahead and prepare for Yom Kippur to Shabbos. Kegoin imchal Yom Kippur, Shabbos, for instance, if Yom Kippur falls on an Erev Shabbos, so one may make the bed on Yom Kippur for the sake of Shabbos. And likewise, the chalev of the carbon that was brought on Shabbos may be brought on Yom Kippur. Kareim Yom Kippurim Shecholiyis Motzei Shabbos, which falls out after Shabbos. So on Motzei Shabbos, so at night, he can go ahead and be makiv the chalev from the carbon of Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Amrit Rav Yanai. So the Beis Medrash, they said from the Beis Medrash Rav Yanai, Lo Yishanu, this allowance of the Mishnah to fold clothing is only said, Ela ba'adam echad. Only if one person does that on his own. Avo b'shnei b'nei adam loy. But if two people join together to fold this garment, it's not allowed. Rashi explains because they stretch out the wrinkles very well, and it looks like veneer and kemis sack, and it looks like they're fixing the garment. Therefore, it's not allowed. U ba'adam echad nami loy amar. And even when it comes to one person, this is only said, this is only allowed, Ela b'chadashim. If these garments are new garments, Aval b'yishanim loy. But if they're old garments, then one may not go ahead and fold them, as Rashi explains, because as opposed to the new garment, which still has its form, has its shape, the old garments are already softer and they wrinkle faster. So when one goes ahead and folds them, he benefits them extensively, and it looks like he's been masaking the clothing. V'chadoshem nami loy amar, even regarding new clothing. The allowance is only said, Ela b'levonim, only white garments, al b'tzvim, but if they are colored garments, loy, then there's no allowance. Rashi explains because the wrinkling in colored garments, it ruins them, it makes the color fades through the wrinkling, through the crushing, so the folding benefits them extensively, and it looks like he's been masaking them. Finally, a fourth condition, v'loy amar. This allowance is only said to Elishayim al-Hachlif. If he has no other garment to change into, Aval Yesh al-Hachlif, or he has an alternative, he has another garment to wear today, Loi, then one is not allowed to fold his garment. That takes it as a Shaila, whether the other garment, let's say it's not as nice as this one. He has another garment, but it's not as nice as this one, perhaps. Is that considered to be like he has no other garment? Tosis is left, leaves it with a suffix. It's a suffix in the name of the Re, whether or not that would be allowed. Continues the Gemara. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Shobes Rangam Liel. The household of Rangam Liel, Loi Hayu Mekaplan Kailava Shalahem, they would not fold their white garments. Mipnei, Shahoyu Lan Lahachlev, because they had garments to change into. Therefore, they did not employ this heter. So in summary, we learned about folding clothing. We have four conditions. It needs to be done by one person. New clothing only, white ones, provided he has no other garment to change into. It needs to be done for the sake of that day, to rewear on Shabbos itself. Boy b'yayim. What about doing achana from Yom HaKippurim to Shabbos? What about Machlekes? Rishmol says yes, Rekiva says no. Now Taisus points out that our Mishnah is actually the source of the halacha that we don't fold our talis after davening on Shabbos, since we no longer intend to wear it today. Therefore, as we learned, one is not meant to prepare on Shabbos for post-Shabbos use. Continues the Gemara on the topic of Shabbos clothing, Amar Rav Huna. Im yesh lahachlif, comes Shabbos, he has Shabbos clothing to switch into, yachlif, certainly he should switch into his Shabbos clothing. V'mein lo lahachlif, but if he does not have Shabbos clothing, yishal shebegodav, he should let down his weekday clothing. Make them longer for the honor of Shabbos. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Rashi is four lines from the bottom, beginning with the words Yesh loy lahachlif yachlif. Says Rashi, Mish yesh li begodim. If he possesses clothing levad mi'oisan shalosh b'chol, aside from his weekday clothing that he wore during the week, yachlifim b'Shabbos, he should switch out of his weekday clothing and put on his Shabbos clothing. But if he does not, what should he do? Yishal shal begodim klapi mata. He should unroll it downward. Shiro arukim. So they appear long. V'umidas ashirim. This is the style of wealthy people. Shayesh from a beisam that sit in their homes. Ve'enam tzrichim l'salach b'gedeim in ha'aretz. They have no need to lift their clothing off the ground b'shul malach on account of doing labor. So the laborer needs to roll up his clothing, fold up his clothing to get them out of the way. They don't interfere with his work. So this fellow on Shabbos, he should at least do this. He should unfold his clothing downward, make them long. V'kavod Shabbosu. This is considered to be an expression of honor for Shabbos. Shabbos is a day of rest. There's no work done today. So This is his way of expressing Kavod Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Maskevler Rav Safra. So Safra asked on this. From his chazi kimuram his rucha. Doing so gives the appearance of haughtiness. It looks like he's trying to dress like the wealthy man. It's an expression of haughtiness. Says the Gemara, there's no concern. Why? Given the chol yom eloika of it, since on an ordinary day he doesn't do this, he doesn't wear his clothing in this manner. V'idna hudika of it, and specifically now he's doing this. Loi mischazik ro misrucha. It certainly doesn't give the appearance of haughtiness. He's doing it specifically for kavod Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, we have a pasuk in Yeshaya which describes the uniqueness, the kavod that one is meant to apply to Shabbos. The pasuk says, v'chibadatoi will tell us that this includes four separate details, separate categories of Kavod Shabbos, how one is meant to conduct himself on Shabbos. Let's begin. You will honor Shabbos, says the Gemara. What does this mean? It includes two things. V'chibadatoi means that your clothing, your manner of dress, should be unique to Shabbos. Your Shabbos clothing should not be the same as your weekday clothing. Now, the term kavod, where do we find that it pertains to clothing? As in the Rabbi Yochanan, who used to call Kari Lamana, used to call his clothing Mich Abdusai, the ones who give me honor. So the concept of kavod pertains to clothing. So one is meant to have specific clothing for Shabbos. The pasuk says, "V'chibatoi me'asay surachecha." Explains the Gemara, "Me'asay surachecha" means "Shelo yehi luchach shel Shabbos ki luchach shel choil," that your manner of walking on Shabbos should be unlike the way you walk during the weekdays. The Gemara soon will explain what this means. And the pasuk continues, "Mimtzei cheftzecha v'daber daber." What does this mean? "Mimtzei cheftzecha." You refrain from pursuing your wants, your pursuits, your business. Chafotzecha asur. The pasuk specifies chafotzecha, your personal matters, your personal business matters, you refrain from. However, chefzi shamayim mutarn, spiritual matters, those are mutar. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Two lines from the bottom, beginning with the words mimtze chefzecha. Says Rashi, for example, kiahu de amrina be'ervin. Like we say over there in Erevin, lo yitayl adam b'soif sadeyu. A person should not take a stroll to the end of his field by Shabbos. Leida ma'yitzricha achar Shabbos. To see what exactly his field, what needs to be done to his field after Shabbos. That's considered to be cheftzicha. Your wants, your pursuits. But cheftzei shamayim mutar. Kigoy, for instance, paiskim tzedakah. To pledge money for tzedakah. Umishat chantinakisli ores. To make a shidduch. So that's considered to be Chefte Shemai. The Pasuk says, V'daber Dover. What does this mean? Shelo yeh deburcha shel Shabbos, ki deburcha shel choyl. Even your manner of speech of conversation on Shabbos should be different than the manner of speech of a weekday conversation. And the Gemara concludes, Dibur Asr. This Isr is specific to speaking, to uttering. Hirur Mutar, however, merely contemplating, thinking these matters, it's Mutar. The Mepharshim says, we're not malachim. The Torah did not restrict that far. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, the top line of Rashi. Shelo yeh debrucha shel Shabbos, ki debrucha shel choyl. Says Rashi, for example, going mekecha memke v'chashboines, calculations, business matters. Hirur mutar, laharur b'liboy, one may think in his heart, kachu kach yitzies, ani tzorech, lo yitzies sadadu, these are the expenses I'm going to spend on this field. So hirur is mutar, but uttering, expressing in words is awesome. Now Tesis asks on Rashi, that the brucha shel choyl is business matters. Says Tosfos, this is already included. Business matters were included in the previous expression of the pasuk of mimtzei chetzecha. So why do we need a special discussion of daber daber? It was already included earlier. Says Tosfos, actually, it's not speaking about business matters. Rabbi Tam says it's speaking about even ordinary talk, ordinary conversation. He brings a vayikur rabba medrash that Rav Shimon Chai had this elderly mother that was speaking a lot on Shabbos, and he told the Ima mother, Shabsahu, it's Shabbos, Shatka. She remained quiet, she remained silent. Says Tosfos, Mashma, it seems from this, She'enka kach ledaber b'Shabbos k'mel choyl. One is not meant to engage in an extensive conversation on Shabbos as it does during the weekday, and brings on Yerushalmi, that b'toyrach yitiru, with difficulty the Chacham allowed b'sheila shalom b'Shabbos, even greeting on Shabbos. So Tosfos learns that v'davar davar, your manner of speech on Shabbos is meant to be different than your weekday manner of conversation, to mean that one is meant to minimize even ordinary talk, ordinary conversation, even non-business discussion on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. B'shleima kulu l'chai. We understand all the other ones. We understand Memtzeh Heftzecha. We understand Daber Dover. We understand Shabbos clothing. But what about the discussion about the manner of walking on Shabbos? It's meant to be distinguished, different than the weekday manner of walking. Ella shelo yehi luchach shal Shabbos ki luchach shal choyl. One is meant to walk differently on Shabbos than during the weekday. Mai, what exactly is referring to? Says Merkiha, the Omer of Huna Rav. As in what Rav Huna said, the name of Rav. Amri Lassam say it was Omer of Abba Omer of Huna. Hayu mahalach b'Shabbos. One was walking on Shabbos. Upoga ba'ama samayim. And he encountered a stream of water. Can he jump over it? It depends. Depends how wide it is. Im yochel aniyeches ragli rishoyna. If he has the ability to place one foot on the other side, koidem shetu akar shniya, prior to the second foot being lifted, meaning it's not wider, Rashi says it's not wider than a psia, than a stride, so you could theoretically, potentially place one foot on the other side while still keeping his second foot down on the ground, then it's not so wide, mutter, then he can go ahead and even jump over it. Vimla, but if it's wider than that, also he cannot jump over it. So this is what the Gemara means, that your manner of walking on Shabbos is meant to be different, meant to jump, meant to walk in a leisurely manner. Maskeflo Rabbi asked, how can you say this? Hey Chilavit, so what should this fellow do? Leikav, should he go around the stream? Kamapish Beilucha, he's going to be walking so much more. So why is that preferable to simply jumping over the stream? Liaver, alternatively, should he simply walk through the stream? Zimnan de Mitas for money. Could be that his clothing will get wet. Mani Zimnan de Mitas for money Maya. His clothing will get wet from the water, and he will come to squeeze it out, do schita, which is a malach. Ella, rather, baha, in this case, since there's no alternative, shapidami, certainly, he may go ahead and jump over the stream. So what then is the restriction applied to? Ella, rather, kadibayimine. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yasi. As in the following discussion, where Rabbi asked Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yasi, ma'ul efsoya, psia gasa b'shamas. What is the halacha regarding taking a large stride, a long stride on Shabbos? Oh, my lady, so Shmuel Bresi responded, you're asking about Shabbos. V'chi b'choyl mihutra, was this allowed even during an ordinary weekday? Shani Oymer, because I say, psi agasa, a long, a wide stride, no, tell us, it removes echad mechamesh meyos, one part of 500th, mimoyer enar shel adam, from a person's eyesight. So it harms his eyesight. One is not meant to do that, even during an ordinary weekday. And the Gemara concludes, Mahadale b'kedusha, the Beis Shimshi, how does he restore his eyesight? By drinking, Rashi says, drinking Kiddush from Friday night. Some say it means that he puts the wine over his eyes. So there's a remedy for that. But in any case, this apparently is what the Gemara meant earlier, that your Hiluch Shal Shabbos should be different. Your manner of walking should be different. One should not take large strides. So there's actually two problems. Ordinarily speaking, it harms a person's eyesight. It takes away 1/500th. And as the first to speak out, it means to say success, it means 1/500th, and then the next wide stride will take out a 500th of the remaining eyesight. So that happens even during the ordinary weekday. On Shabbos is an additional concern of Kavod Shabbos. So on Shabbos we have two reasons to refrain from a psia gasa. So in summary, we learn from the Pasuk in Yeshaya that one is meant to accord the highest level of honor towards Shabbos. Shabbos is meant to be distinguished entirely from an ordinary weekday in all facets, in all aspects of one's behavior. Regarding attire, one is meant to wear a malbush on Shabbos. Refrain from business activities, chavetzach asurin, even business conversations. And according to Tosfos, general conversations altogether should be minimized. And finally, one is meant to refrain from psio gasa, taking those large, long strides. Rather, on Shabbos, one is meant to walk in a leisurely manner. Continues the Gemara, boyimine. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi asked the following question of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Ma'u lechol adama b'Shabbos? What is the halacha regarding eating earth on Shabbos? Some type of earth which has a therapeutic value. Is this usur? Is this included in the isur of refuah, of taking medicines on Shabbos, chamor concern that a person might grind ingredients and do the melacha of teichen. So is this included in that iser, eating earth? Amar Leih, so Shmuel Reish responded, you ask about Shabbos? What about doing this during the weekday? V'chi b'chol mihutra, is this allowed during the weekday? Shani Omer, because I say, I maintain, apachol also even during the weekday it's aser. V'nei shu malka, because it's injurious, it's harmful to one's health. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rabbi, kol oichel me'afra shel bavel, one eats from the earth of bavel, ki ilu oichel me'psar v'yosef. It's as though he's eating from the flesh of his ancestors, as the Mefarshim explained. Because in contrast to Yisrael, where they were meticulous to properly mark the graves, and Bavel, they weren't so careful. So there's a real concern that he's eating from the flesh of his ancestors. Some say, by eating the earth of Bavel, it is keilu oichel shkotzim ramas, as though he's eating worms and vermin. Dechsiv, because it says by the Mabel, vayimechas kol ha'ikum, Hashem wiped away entire civilization. Va'amar ishlokish, lo manikro shmo shinar. Why was Bavel called Shinar? Shekol Meisei Mabel Ninaru L'Sham. Shinar is an acronym. It's a combined word. Shekol Meisei Mabel Ninaru L'Sham. All the dead of the Mabel were dunked to Bavel. So all end up in Bavel. Therefore, one eats the earth of Bavel. So eating the Shkatzim Ramasim that were drained there through the Mabel. Ve'omer B'yechlan. Why was Bavel called with the name Mitzula, which means depths? Shekol meisei mabul nitzalu l'sham, because all the dead of the mabul were sank to Bavel. They were drained to Bavel. So that's the reason why, if one eats from the earth of Bavel, it is as though he's eating shkatzim ramasim. And the Gemara continues and says, we just said kilu echal shkatzim ramasim. One second, what's the problem? Vavadai ismachu ismachu. Certainly, they become dissolved in the hot water of the marble. So why do you regard it as though he's eating shkatzim ramasim? Says the Gemara. Amri, they said an answer as follows. Kivan de malki, since the earth is injurious, it's harmful to one's health. Gozvir abonim. So it's really on account of a person's health, a chamor concern that it's going to injure somebody by eating it. Therefore, the chachamim applied that label. They said, refrain from it. As one brings the story, because of this person, there was this fellow that ate gargishta, some type of clay, then he ate tachli, cress, some type of vegetable, and this plant, this cress, took root in the earth that he had eaten, so it took root in his stomach, and it grew until it got to his heart, and he died as a result. So he ate the tachli, v'kotchli tachli, and the tchalim that he ate, they grew v'libe into his heart, v'meis, and he died. Continues the Gemara. Continue with the topic of Bgadim Shal Shabbos. So we have the pasuk where Naomi told Rus to go down to the field to Boaz, and she told us as follows. Gave her instructions. V'rochatzt, you should bathe. V'svosach, then you should anoint yourself. V'sam simul sayich, and place your garments. What does this mean? Amar v'lazer, elu b'godim shal Shabbos. Certainly she was dressed. What she meant to say was, put on, change to Shabbos clothing, and then present yourself to Boaz in that manner. Continues the Gemara. There's a pasuk in Mishlei says, tein l'chacham v'yech kamoid. Give some wisdom to a wise man, and he will increase wisdom on that. Amar v'lazer, Zu Rus Hamoyavia Ushmol Haramasi. This is referring to two people. Rus Hamoyavia and Shmol Haramasi. Explains the Gemara. Rus was as follows. Dilu Nami Kamarla. Because Nami, when she instructed her, she told her as follows. Nami was Rus's mother-in-law. And she told her as follows. Verochatz, Vasach, Vesam Sivlisayich. So bathe, anoint, and then get dressed. Vesam Sivlisayich, Olayich. V'yirad tagoyin, and then go down to the threshing floor. V'ilu b'didoksiv, however, when she carried out the instructions, what does it say? She reversed things a bit. It says v'atera tagoyin, first she went down to the goyin. V'ahod, and afterwards it says, v'atas kechoyla shetzivato chamoysa. And only then did she do all that she was instructed to do by her mother-in-law. As she explains, she anointed herself, placed her Shabbos clothing. Only when she got to the goyin, She didn't want to beautify herself before unless she meets some people and they perhaps will think that she's a zoina, an immoral woman. So she increased, she improved on the instructions that she was given. What is the example regarding Shmuel? Says the Gemara, Shmuel, Deilu Eli Karmale, because Eli instructed him as follows. When he heard the when Shmuel heard the voices coming out of the Hechel, so Eli told him, Shchav, lay down, Vahoya, Imikra Elecha, and if this voice will call out to you, Vamarta, and you should say, Dabra Hashem, speak Hashem, Ki Shoimeya Avdecha, because your servant is listening. So begin by saying, Dabra Hashem. Now, how did he actually carry out the instructions? Vilu Bididexiv. When he carried out the instructions, what does it say? Ksiv bei vayovei Hashem, Hashem came by Siasim, and he stood vayikro kipam v'pam, and he called out like the other times, Shmuel, Shmuel. How did Shmuel respond? Vayomer Shmuel, daber ki shemei avdecha, speak because your servant is listening. V'lo yomer daber Hashem. He didn't begin by uttering Hashem's name because he was unsure, uncertain of whether it was really Hashem speaking, so he didn't want to take a chance. So therefore, he began by simply saying daber without Hashem's name. So he increased, he improved on the instructions that were given to him. Continues the Gemara, this is describing Rus when she went out to the field, Atelech, Atovai, she went and she came, but like Besoda, she gathered the grain in the field. Now why does the Pasuk say she went, she came, and then it says she gathered? The word came seems to be out of place. She returned prior to gathering? Says the Gemara, Omar Belazar. What it means to say is, Shehol Chobas, she went and she returned. Hol Chobas, she went and she returned again. Ad Shematza, until she encountered, she found, Bnei Adam, people Hamuganim, appropriate people, appropriate company, Leila Chimam, to go and gather with them. Continues the Pasuk, Vayomer Boyas. So Boyas said, Lenari, to his servant, Hanitzav al Kroisrim, who was standing by the harvesters, Lemi Hanar Azois, to whom does this woman belong? Says the Gemara, V'chidarko sheboyaz, Lishol Banara, was this the manner of Boyaz, who was a tzaddik, to notice and inquire regarding every woman that he saw? Amar Belazar, there was something special here. Dvar Chochma Rabba, he saw something, a manner of wisdom, in her mannerism. And therefore, he was inquiring as to her identity. What did he see? Shnei shebolim lakta, when she noticed two stalks on the floor, which were dropped by the harvesters, she would pick them up. She would gather them. Shloisha shibolim. When she noticed three stalks, ain't a lakta. She wouldn't take it. Because the halacha is that only two stalks dropped by the harvester are considered to be leket and belong to the aniyim. But three does not belong to the aniyim. So this is the dvar chachma that he noticed. Masnisatana, in the braisa we learned, dvar tsnius rabba, he noticed a manner of a modesty in her behavior. Oindois mu'umut, when it came to gathering the stalks that were still standing, were forgotten by the harvesters, considered to be shikha, then she gathered them when she was standing up. Noiflois miyushuf, the ones that were actually lying down, she gathered miyushuf, when she was in a sitting position, which was more modest than leaning over. So this is the tznius that he noticed, something unique, and therefore he inquired as to her identity. So Boaz told her, V'choy sidbok in Naroisai, this is how you should cleave with my servants. Says the Gemara, why did he use this choice, this word, sidbok and cleave, V'chidarki shel Boaz ledabik and anoshim, is it the manner of Boaz to cleave with women? Why did he use the term cleaving, which seems to be inappropriate when speaking to a woman? Amar Belezer, what the Pasuk means as follows, Kivan the Chaza, when Boaz saw her behavior, that Vatishak Orpah Lachamoisa, Orpah, who was the other daughter-in-law, she gave her mother-in-law a kiss and went back home to the Goyim. V'ruz Davkaba, however, Ruz cleaved to her. She cleaved to her mother-in-law. She wanted to be part of Yiddishkeit, part of Klal Yisrael. Omar, so when Boaz saw this thing, he said, Shari Lidbukiba, it is permissible to cleave with her. Means she's a true ger, she's a true convert, her intentions are pure. Therefore, she may marry into Klal Yisrael. Vayomer le Boaz, Boaz told her, Le'esa Oichel, at mealtime, he told her, Goishi Haloim, come over here, come near. Amar Belezer, why did he use the word Haloim? Remez Ramazla, he hinted to her, Rashi says this is an expression of Ruach HaKodesh, regarding the future. The Remez was, Asida Malchus Beis David, Lotzeis Mimich, the kingdom of David will actually emerge from you. Because this term Haloim is mentioned regarding Malchus Mizdavid Shanema Vayev Amelav David Vayeshiv Ne Hashem Vayev Amil Noichi Hashem Elokim. And we basically have Yisani. So the term Haloim is mentioned in the context of Malchus Beis David, and this is what he was hinting to her, that the kingdom of David will emerge from her. He told her, "Tavalt pitei b'chaimetz, you should dip your bread in vinegar." What's the purpose of the pasuk mentioning this? Amar b'lozim mikan, we learn from him, "Shachaimetz, yofel l'shara, vinegar is good for a hate." Rav Shmuel Rachmeni Amar, actually there was a hint embedded in this. Remez Ramazla. He hinted to her, and hint, Asud ben Lotis Mech, a child, a descendant, will emerge from you, Shamasav Kashim Kachemetz, that his actions, his behavior will be difficult, sharp, bitter, like vinegar. He'll be a Rasha, Umanoi Manasha. This is Manasha, who was a Rasha. Vatesha Mekhtala Kachim, she sat on the side of the harvesters, and this means that the harvesters intersected between Ubayez and Rus. Says the Gemara, there was a remnant here. Amar Blazer, mitzad ha-koitshim on the side of the harvesters, v'loi b'tzeich ha-koitshim, not inside, meaning they were intersecting between him and her. Remez Ramazla, by seating them apart, he actually hinted to her, sha'asidu malchus beis dovesh et ischalik, that eventually the malchus beis dovesh will split. There'll be two kings in Kal Yisrael, one on Shevet Yudah and Binyamin, and the Melech Yisrael will rule over the 10 remaining Shvatim. The pasuk continues, "Vayitzbat l'kali." So he handed her some of the grains. "Vatoychal," she ate, and the pasuk concludes, "Vatisva," and she was full. "Vatoysar," and she left some over. Amar Belezer, the pasuk here is referring to three points in history, three eras amongst her descendants where there was wealth. "Vatoychal" is referring to Bimei David. "Vatisva" is referring to Bimei Shlomo. "Vatoysar" is referring to the days Bimei Chizkia when there was an abundance of wealth. V'ikidamri, some have a different version. V'atoychal is referring to Bimei David u'Bimei Shlomo. David and Shlomo here are regarded as one era. V'atisva is Bimei Chizkiah, and V'atoysar is referring to Bimei Rebbe, the days of Rebbe. Dama Amar, as we learned, Ahurire de Rebbe, the stable master of Rebbe, Hava Osir was wealthier, Mishmo Malka, than this king, this Persian king. Masnisatan, and a Bryce, we learned a little different version. It's referring to material and spiritual wealth. V'atoychal bo'il mahazeh, in this world. Vatisba is referring to spiritual wealth, l'moysa Mashiach, matoysar, l'asid lovi. Continues the Gemara. We have a passage in Yeshaya which describes the destruction which will befall the Sancheriv and his army who came, who laid siege on Yerushalayim. The passage says, V'sachas kvoidoi, yekad yekoid ki koid esh. So the pasuk says that sachas kvoidoi, there will be this raging fire. What does v'sachas kvoidoi mean? We have three translations. Om Rabbi Yechon, v'sachas kvoidai, means that the bodies which were sachas underneath, kvoidai referring to the clothing of a person which gave him honor, they burnt. V'loi kvoidai mamish, not the actual clothing themselves. Says Gemara, Rabbi Yechon tamei, Rabbi Yechon refers to clothing as kvoidai, is consistent with what he himself said. The Rabbi Yechon kari, lemane mechabdusai, he called his clothing mechabdusai, things that honor me. Therefore, v'sachas kvoidai means that the bodies which were underneath kvoid, underneath the garments, were the ones that got burnt. Reb Lezer Omer, he agrees that the bodies were the ones that got burnt, but he arrives at that conclusion in a little bit of a different manner. He says, V'sachas kvoid means like this. Tachas means the fire replaced, it substituted, it burnt up, kvoid the bodies. Tachas kvoid mamish, the fire substituted the bodies themselves. So according to both shittas, it was the bodies that were burnt. Rav Shmuel Nachmeni Amar, he learns, no, the bodies remained intact. It was actually the life within, the neshama within that got burnt out. Tachas kvoidai means like this. Tachas is underneath. Kvoidai, the body. So tachas, he interprets like Rabbi Yochanan, meaning underneath. Kvoidai, he translates like Rabbi Lezer, meaning the body. So what's underneath the body? The neshama. Because Shreifas Bnei Aaron, like the burning of the Bnei Aaron, another Babiu, Ma'ala, just like over there, we find Shreifas Neshama, the burning of the Neshama of Guf Kayim, with the Guf remaining intact, Afkan here as well. Shreifas Neshama, it's referring to the burning of the Neshama, the Guf Kayim, with the body remaining intact. So in summary, we have two approaches as to what happened. According to one Shita, it was the bodies that burned. According to another Shita, the bodies remained intact. It was the Neshama that burned. Time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with the Mishnah telling us one may tie a belt to a pail on Shabbos. We learned that an ordinary rope certainly can't be tied to the pail. What about a weaver's rope? According to Rabbanan, no. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what about making a bow on Shabbos? According to Rabbanan, it's mutter. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's aser. Regarding tying a rope to a cow onto the avos and to the feeder basket, that's only mutter when there's no concern of a kesher shel kayama, as the Gemara goes into great detail. Regarding bimetalta klei kivai, those weaver's tools, the sticks certainly will be mutter. The upper and lower beams of a machloikis, the poles in the ground, that's aser. We learned that one may fold clothing on Shabbos if he intends on using them today, provided he meets four conditions. It's only one person doing the folding. They're new clothing, white ones. And he has no other ones to change into. We have a machloikis regarding preparing for Kippur to Shabbos. And we learned that the honor of Shabbos encompasses all forms regarding clothing, refraining from business activity and talk, and the requirement to walk leisurely on Shabbos. We learned about the Chochmah Tznis of Rus and about the Ruach HaKodesh of Boaz.